America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. What a great day it is when people have discretionary income to spend on entertainment. Yeah, they do. Would you spend $76,000 for a one-time, one-night ticket to a public event? Apparently, they are selling top-priced seats, and yes, they are top-priced seats, $76,000 a seat for seeing Taylor Swift in her upcoming 50-city tour. It has broken every record. In fact, it broke Ticketmaster. They couldn't process. Do you know what it said, Jeremy? It seems unbelievable, but 3.5 billion people are trying to get in line to get tickets to Taylor Swift. And typical tickets are now priced at Ticketmaster $400, $500 each, going on up to $76,000 per ticket. If somebody has gone through this experience and waited and gotten some of these precious tickets, I'm not asking you to try to scalp them on the air, but what is it? What is the magical healing properties that would come to you from hearing Taylor Swift? She's beautiful and she's very talented, and but really, at this moment in our history, speaking of millions and millions of dollars, there is a lawsuit going on from a football coach who lost his job at Washington State University because he said, for religious reasons, which he's never explained, he wouldn't allow himself to be vaccinated. And that's with the COVID-19 vaccination. And, okay, he was getting $3 million a year as a coach. He wants a lot of that back and then damages. What is the deal? And again, is it really a religious issue? We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. And then we'll talk about the fact that there is some attempt, despite the fact that Republicans didn't gain any ground at all in Washington State. People had expected that we would do much better and that we might actually chip away at some of those Democratic majorities in the state legislature. Well, didn't happen. The Democrats actually got some ground gained in the state legislature. And basically, it was not a great year for Republicans this year. But what do you do about education in the state of Washington? We'll be speaking to the Washington Policy Center about that. And, oh, great. Breaking news in the Washington Post. Carrie Lake, who was projected earlier this week, on Monday, in fact, to lose her race for governor of Arizona. She's not projected to lose. She's lost. Everyone has called it. There is no way. They actually did a calculation. If she got literally 99 out of 100 votes for what is left to count, she wouldn't be close. She would lose. She is losing Katie Hobbs as the governor-elect of Arizona. In any event, she traveled today to guess where? Where do you think she would go right now? It's a lovely time of year. I mean, she's in Arizona anyway, where it's not particularly cold. She's going to Mar-a-Lago. And according to people familiar with the activity and reported in the Washington Post, Lake has not conceded defeat. She probably never will. The visit to Mar-a-Lago while vote counting continues in Arizona illustrates that she is already taking steps to maintain her profile in the former president's orbit. Do you remember President Trump had put out word that she was on his short list to be his vice presidential running mate after he wins the Republican nomination? And is that still true with her established as a loser in Arizona? A New York Times reports Carrie Lake says she is exploring every avenue to fight her loss. despite no sign of election tilting problems. While Maricopa County, which includes Phoenix, had long lines and glitches with election tabulators, there's been no evidence that the problems influenced Arizona's race for governor in any way. In a video posted on Twitter, Ms. Lake said she had assembled lawyers, of course she has, and was exploring every avenue, adding, "My resolve to fight for you is higher than ever." Okay, this is one of those things. Is this going to be the way we identify the Republican Party for the future? Is that a good look? Really? I'm thinking about this. I was just reading again about how it was that miraculous victory that Donald Trump achieved in 2016. And yes, it was a victory. He lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. But somehow he put together very slender majorities in just enough states. And he got his 306 electoral votes and won the presidency. And here is the basic point, is the total number of votes that gave Trump the presidency was 77,000 votes. It was very close in 2016. It was not close in the popular vote. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. But here's the question. Hillary Clinton, yes, of course, she complained, and there was the entire Russian hoax, as it's been called, the whole investigation of President Trump. And you can complain about that, but no one ever said on the Democratic side, despite the fact that it was much closer in 2016 than it was in 2020, closer both in the popular vote and closer in the electoral vote. It was no Democrat ever said, well, actually, these have been miscounted. We have to go re-proceed over those votes. Stacey Abrams said that. But in terms of the national election, and now in this election in Arizona, when there was a Republican for statewide office, the state treasurer in Arizona got 150,000 more votes than Carrie Lake. I mean, this is totally unbelievable. And speaking of people who are on their way out of the political spotlight, and Carrie Lake is one of them, Nancy Pelosi, she made an announcement today, and the announcement sounded like this. Clip four.
Now we must move boldly into the future, grounded by the principles that have propelled us this far and open to fresh possibilities for the future. Scripture teaches us that for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. My friends, no matter what title you all, my colleagues, have bestowed upon me, speaker, leader, whip, there is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution. And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility.
Okay, what does that mean exactly? We will get to that. There will be a new look. People in America wanted some change. They're going to get it in the House of Representatives because there's not going to be a Democratic speaker. The Republicans have won control of the House. And pending some kind of internal awful Republican civil war, which does no one any good, Kevin McCarthy will be the new speaker. The new minority leader, the leader of the Democrats, who will have almost as many votes as the Republicans. We will get to that and to more coming up on The Medved Show.
The thing is this is a big deal.
The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. outrage.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Nancy Pelosi announcing not that she is stepping down from the House of Representatives, as many people actually expected. She's going to continue as a member of the House representing the city of San Francisco. This in spite of all the turmoil and the horrible attack on her husband, which is no joking matter. They're both 82 years old. And for him to be knocked unconscious by a hammer blow to the head by a crazed intruder who seemed to be motivated based upon his social media record, seemed to be motivated by political impulses. The entire thing is incredibly sad, and it's something of a sad way for her to leave the House leadership, which she is doing. And good for her. I mean, she's going out with a certain amount of class, and she hasn't always had that in her battles with the other side. I actually think this will increase the chances of some cooperation between the incoming speaker, who is almost certain to be Kevin McCarthy, or the new leader for the minority, who is almost certain to become Hakeem Jeffries of New York State, who is a pretty good guy. He's a Democrat, but he is a mainstream Democrat. He represents same kind of neighborhood he grew up in Brooklyn. He's from Crown Heights in Brooklyn. And he is certainly somebody who speaks more like a moderate Democrat and has, I think, will have the kind of courage you need to stand up to the crazies on the Democratic side, the people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He's a far more moderate version, and he will be the first Black American to be in a position of leadership in the House of Representatives if the Democrats, as expected, go through to choose him. Nancy Pelosi said this in her farewell address, I guess you could call it, said this about the Democratic performance in the recent midterms. Clip 6.
Last week, the American people spoke, and their voices were raised in defense of liberty, of the rule of law, and of democracy itself. With these elections, the people stood in the breach and repelled the assault on democracy. They resoundingly rejected violence and insurrection, and in doing so, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Okay, I guess she is not one of those people who wants to replace the national anthem, and good for her. And then finally, just to give the outgoing speaker her due, and she would be the outgoing speaker even if she didn't decide to step aside, but she has. And she mentioned her husband, Paul, clip 5.
My dear husband, Paul, who has been my beloved partner in life and my pillar of support, thank you. We're all grateful for all the prayers and well wishes as he continues his recovery. Thank you so much.
And on the other side of the country, there's Carrie Lake. She is going to end up losing the race for governor of Arizona by 16,000 or maybe 17,000 votes. This is not a squeaker. We had a very close governor's race in Washington State in 2004 between Christine Gregoire and Dina Orossi, and Christine Gregoire ended up winning by, I think it was 123 votes. It was certainly less than 1,000. That was an incredibly close race with many recounts. This is not a race that is yet in the realm where a recount is required. Supposedly, you're supposed to have a recount when the difference is less than 0.5%. This is less than 1%, but it's considerably more than half of a percent. It's like 0.8%. And but that led Carrie Lake to post one of her videos, for which she's become notorious, and announcing that for her, this fight in Arizona continues. Listen.
Our election officials failed us miserably. What happened to Arizonans on Election Day is unforgivable. Tens of thousands of Maricopa County voters were disenfranchised. Now, I am busy here collecting evidence and data. Rest assured, I have assembled the best and brightest legal team, and we are exploring every avenue to correct the many wrongs that have been done this past week. I'm doing everything in my power to right these wrongs. My resolve to fight for you is higher than ever. This movement started in Arizona, and it quickly expanded to all 50 states. It's a movement of mama bears and papa bears and students and Arizonans who love this country, who want secure borders, who want schools that prepare their children for the real opportunities that are out there. It's a movement of Arizonans who want safe streets once again and want the drug crisis to come to an end. It's a movement of Arizonans who want prosperity and the pursuit of happiness. That movement is stronger than it ever has been. And I can promise you one thing. This fight to save our republic has just begun. I love you, Arizona, and I love you, America.
Okay, really? This movement, and this movement to save our republic? Arizona, with an outgoing, outstanding Republican governor, Doug Ducey, who instituted a flat tax in the state of 2.5%, did tax cuts, has built up public safety, has been a very successful governor. She attacking him? He's a Republican. Some of the Carrie Lake supporters assembled and started blowing ram's horns to knock down the state capitol building in Phoenix. No, really. This is like Joshua on the Walls of Jericho. And it sounded like this. Okay, we will get to that after the break. It's pretty amazing. I mean, honest to goodness, is this the kind of thing we should be fighting over? And then Kevin McCarthy laid out some of his plans for the new Congress on Fox News. And some of it just provides for, what is it going to be, 2 years of political stunts? And of attempts to smear one another. I honestly believe that one of the legacies that I hope that President Trump himself and the people he's inspired and that he leads will leave behind, and there are indications they will leave behind, is the level of a vicious personal attack back and forth. Honestly, we can do better as a country, don't you think? We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
The greatest show.
And on the Michael MedVet Show, there's a story from the Associated Press that points out that split-ticket voting is not a sign of fraud. And in fact, it kind of rebuts the idea of some kind of electoral fraud. I'll tell you why. If you're going to the trouble as a partisan Democrat to try to steal a gubernatorial election, well, why wouldn't you go ahead and steal for the entire ticket? Steal a senatorial election, too, and steal everything. Steal the election for state treasurer. And as Republican Carrie Lake lost her gubernatorial bid to Democrat Katie Hobbs in Arizona, social media users baselessly suggested the fact that the incumbent state treasurer, whose name is Kimberly Lee, garnered more votes than Lake was a sign of manipulation. She garnered a lot more votes than Lake. It makes no mathematical sense that the GOP state treasurer just won re-election by 250,000 votes. But none of those voters also felt like voting for Carrie Lake. Well, you know why they didn't feel like voting for Carrie Lake? Because Carrie Lake was a nutty on the subject of the stolen election. In fact, President Trump himself was telling a joke about Carrie Lake, and it exists on tape, where he said, oh, you know, Carrie Lake, she's my favorite. I love her. She's terrific. And he said, you know what happens is when you call her up and you say, how's your family? She'll start talking about the stolen votes in Pennsylvania and start talking about stop the steal. claim the fact that Yee got tens of thousands more votes than Lake shows the election was rigged. While Yee did get more votes, says the Associated Press, that isn't proof of fraud. Many Arizona voters, including Republicans and independents, have a history of voting for candidates from both political parties. That continued the cycle. Some voters decided against Lake and the Republican candidate for Senate, Blake Masters, and Secretary of State, Mark Fincham, while still voting for other Republicans down ballot, including people in the state legislature. At the end of the day, 118,000 more people voted for Kimberly Yee than Carrie Lake, which basically means there are 118,000 split-ticket voters here, said Paul Bentz, a Republican pollster in Phoenix. Split-ticket voters are very common. It happens all of the time. It speaks to the various strengths or drawbacks of a particular candidate. Okay, one of the drawbacks of the candidacy of Carrie Lake is the nuttiness of some of the true believers who were holding a mass demonstration. There are at least four people visible. And they are blowing shofars. I don't know why. I guess the idea is that in the Bible, it says that when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, the way that Joshua impelled that to happen, that miracle, was to blow shofars, ram's horns. So you're going to hear the ram's horns. You need to see this mass crowd of all four of them. And they're carrying one is a Trump flag, and they have another flag, SOS Save Our State. And this is a, according to the press, 4 to 20 people showed up. A vocal group of election deniers rallied outside the state capitol in Phoenix to protest Carrie Lake's loss. The governor's race was called back on Monday night, and Ms. Hobbs taking the contest by about 20,000 votes and a 50.4% to Ms. Lake's 49.6%. So it's well over the half of a percent that would be necessary to force a recount. Approximately 15 people now, they say, gathered at the Arizona State Capitol, with some waving flags emblazoned with pro-Trump messages and SOS. And it sounded like this. Okay, they're marching around the state capitol. How does this impact freedom? And this is the essence of what is going on here. There's also this, and it's not good news. The James Comer of Kentucky, who's a newly reelected Republican in the House of Representatives, indicated that he has a really exciting and constructive agenda coming up, which is going to be concentrating all of his considerable political power on a detailed investigation of Hunter Biden. Now, Hunter Biden is already under investigation by the Justice Department. I know. The Justice Department now is actually under the control of Merrick Garland. But when it was still under the control of Bill Barr, they authorized an investigation of Hunter Biden, which apparently is proceeding. And it's taking a long time, just like these things do, as it did with the John Durham investigation, which basically came up empty, looking for scandals involving the FBI. And here is what James Comer said of Kentucky about the need to investigate the president's wayward son. Listen.
This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the president of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. National security interests require the committee conduct investigation, and we will pursue all avenues, avenues that have long been ignored. Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the president's family. These include conspiracy or defrauding the United States, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, tax evasion, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality, from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution. In the 118th Congress, this committee will evaluate the status of Joe Biden's relationship with his family's foreign partners and whether he is a president who is compromised or swayed by foreign dollars and influence. I want to be clear. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, and that's where the committee will focus in this next Congress.
Again, good news, constructive news. Assuming that they generate material that needs further investigation by the Justice Department, this when there is already a Justice Department team based in Delaware that is already going after Hunter Biden. It seems to me that it's a much better idea to announce the kind of constructive, at least, you could say, approach that other Republicans have laid out, like Kevin McCarthy. He is now talking about using the power of the purse. And again, I'm not sure this is the right strategy concerning a new IRS agents. Listen, this is clip 14. We will actually get to that right after the break. But there is also the fact that the midterms are not quite over. Why not? Well, because there's still a crucial Senate race in Georgia, and it makes a great deal of difference. And it has gotten pretty down and dirty already, that particular race. How is that going to turn up? How is that going to turn out? I don't think anyone really knows with any certainty. And on the Michael Medved Show, and this goes to the congressman from Kentucky, Congressman Comer, that we just heard from, and it goes to Kevin McCarthy, who is very likely to become the next speaker. The thing that could block his election as speaker would be when the Republicans gathered, and this is Republicans who are currently serving in Congress, including some of the newly elected Republicans who are coming to the Congress for the first time. They voted 188 voted for Kevin McCarthy as speaker, 31 voted against him. They voted for Andy Biggs of Arizona. Now, not all of those 31 members of Congress are going to vote for McCarthy when the whole Congress gets together. Here is the problem. The dividing line between Republicans and Democrats in this new session of Congress is going to be so very narrow. There may be 200, there's right now 219 Republicans who've been elected so far, their election's confirmed. They're expecting they may go up to 220, maybe 221, but that's probably about it. Which means that if there are four Republican members of Congress, and this is talking to you, Marjorie Taylor Greene or Matt Gaetz or any of those people on the edge who voted against Kevin McCarthy to be the speaker, that if some of them say, no, we refuse to vote for you for speaker, Is it inconceivable that Democrats make some kind of deal with other Republican members of Congress from other states to elect somebody else who is not a Republican or certainly not a mainstream Republican? Who knows? But one of the things about this Congress being so closely divided is you're going to have a tremendous power for any individual member. It's like Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, during the last 2 years, has been the most powerful individual in the U.S. Senate, period. No one close. Why? Because he was that one last vote, and he's not a liberal, and he blocked some of Joe Biden's worst ideas. Well, now, with a similarly narrow majority in the U.S. House, the enormous power to any member of Congress, whether it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Marjorie Taylor Greene, whoever it is on the left or right, it could be very scary. That's why, honestly, is it really a good idea that the new plan for the new Congress on day one should be about undoing stuff that Biden has already done? And that, it seems to me, is part of the problem for Republicans, who really need to emphasize we're going forward, not going back. Going back to replay the 2020 election is nuts. And by the way, going back to replay the 2022 election, Carrie Lake's supporters and true believers, is also nuts. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's only going to damage the party. And here is Kevin McCarthy laying out his plan for the new Congress on Fox News. Listen, clip 14.
The one thing I know in Washington, they don't hand the gavels out in small, medium, and large size. It's one size gavel with the ability to subpoena and hold this government accountable, secure this border, fight to make us energy independent, give a parents a say in their kids' education, and actually look what the DOJ is doing, what the DHS is doing, and others. And that's exactly what we're going to do. On day one in this House, we will repeal 87,000 new IRS agents. We will use the power of the purse. The size of our debt has got to stop. But we've got to actually focus on what we did listening to the American public. You've got to make an economy that's strong. They're hurting because of inflation. We've got to cut back on this wasteful Washington spending. We've got to make ourselves energy independent. And not just energy independent. Let's help our allies. Let's make China dependent on our natural gas. Let's secure our border so our children are no longer being killed by fentanyl every single day. Let's make sure we stop defunding the police and start funding them. Let's make sure parents have a parents' bill of rights, a say in their kids' education. Let's make sure government is held accountable.
Okay, this is a pretty big agenda for day one. But look, you could say if you aren't trying to make big progress on a conservative agenda, you'll never do it. And the only problem, of course, is over-promising and the emphasis on day one. This iteration of Congress has been elected for 2 years, and some of those changes are going to require 2 full years. Concerning Carrie Lake, and just one more bit of perspective. There's a terrific editorial in the Wall Street Journal, and the headline is Carrie Lake's loss destroys Stop the Steal. GOP candidates took the Trump line on 2020, and it cost them. Ms. Lake, a former TV news anchor, had all the sparkling charisma that Donald Trump's other favorite candidates lacked, it says. She loved telling off journalists. She called 2020 a corrupt, stolen election, and she repeated that line to the bitter end. As Mr. Trump bragged in a phone call captured on tape, if they say, "How is your family?" she says the election was rigged and stolen. But she lost her election, 49.6% to 50.4%, according to the latest data. The Democratic gubernatorial nominee, Katie Hobbs, ran an uninspiring campaign and went all in for the teachers union. She still won. As a reminder of how winnable Arizona should be for Republicans, Governor Doug Ducey was reelected in 2018 by 14 points. And he's now finishing a highly successful second term that includes statewide school choice and a 2.5% flat tax. Too bad they have a term limits in Arizona. Notably, however, the GOP wipeout didn't go all the way down the ballot. As they point out in the journal, Republican state treasurer Kimberly Yee sailed to re-election with 56% of the vote. Curious, yes. On the other hand, doesn't that make it a proxy for generic GOP support? Look at the raw totals. Ms. Yee won roughly 115,000 more votes than Ms. Lake. The GOP also won 6 of 9 Arizona House districts. And Republicans in those 9 races received 50,000 more votes than Ms. Lake. Both figures are well above her losing margin. What explains the gap? According to exit polls, Ms. Lake lost independents by 7 points and moderates by 20. At the same time, she lost 9% of self-identified Republicans. Now, why? Many Republican voters simply didn't like being fed Trump baloney about the 2020 election. Or if baloney is too mild a word, there's always horse beep, which is what Arizona's sitting attorney general, Republican Mark Brnovich, recently called the mass fraud schemes. Among other investigations, his office tracked down 282 purportedly dead voters. He wrote this summer, many of whom were very surprised to learn they were allegedly deceased. They're alive and well, and they voted. Mr. Brnovich ran for Senate this year, but was outflanked by Mr. Masters in the primary. If he had been the nominee, he might have won last week, but he refused to pretend the 2020 election was stolen by some shadowy conspiracy that eluded law enforcement and normal standards of proof. We as prosecutors deal in facts and evidence, he said, and I'm not like the clowns that throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. That's what he told 60 Minutes. It's like a giant grift in some ways. Carrie Lake is a telegetic fraud theorist right out of Mar-a-Lago casting, running in a historically red state in a year with an unpopular Democratic president and 8% inflation. If Ms. Lake couldn't win on Stop the Steal in 2022, it's hard to see how anyone else can pull it off. Maybe at last, the 2020 election is over. And it should be, because one of the things Republicans have to do is to move forward. Does that move forward include another term of Trump? And there's a question that's put by Daniel Henninger, who asks, can Trump change his stripes? Meanwhile, can conservatives, despite our losses in Washington state this time, actually make some progress on education reform? We will get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product.